Well, thank you guys for entering into worship tonight. Appreciate that a lot. It makes our job so much easier when the body, the congregation, is entering in and doing your part to get in. Otherwise, it gets very dry sometimes, if you know what I mean. But not tonight. Thank you so much for that. Tonight, I just wanted to kind of take it easy, lay back a little bit, and have some fun talking about one of my favorite Bible topics ever. It is something that I've studied quite a bit about, tried my very best in life to walk it out, to do everything I can to be obedient to the Lord, to make sure that I am fulfilling the call that He's put on my life and the life of my family, to try to help them to grow and to learn as well. So tonight I hope to give you a little bit of information that'll bless you and profit your life, as well as the lives of those around you, your family, your friends. And I've only got a few minutes to do it. You know, I'm not like Pastor Mike. You know, he's got probably a countdown timer in his head that tells him it's time to go, and 3, 2, 1, lights, perfect, shut down, the whole thing. So it's been actually quite a few years since I've actually written a sermon and taught a sermon, specifically a teaching. So a little bit of mercy would be good. I appreciate that a lot. But hopefully you're going to be blessed this evening. So well, here's the deal. We need the power. Oh, I didn't tell you. We're going to talk tonight about the gifts of the Spirit, okay? It's a super fun topic. It's a really neat thing. It's something that we all need to have in our lives. And I'll get through the points here in a minute. But here's the thing. We need the power of God moving in our lives, okay? We need to be able to have the ability to jerk the slack out of the devil's chain regarding our families, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and even more specifically, those that are around us that are lost and dying and going to hell. We live in a time in this world when a simple 3 points in a prayer and a poem is not sufficient in order to help people, to pull humanity out of the clutches of the devil. Really, it's never been sufficient, but certainly not in the times that we live in currently. I'm going to do my best tonight to let the Bible do the talking, okay? So I am going to read through some passages, some of them a little bit lengthy. It won't be anything you haven't heard, obviously, but I found that a good refresher course sometimes helps you to remember to do what it is you're going to do. Remember, because if you don't remember, you forget. And if you don't forget, you won't remember. So here we go, Ephesians 6:12. You're welcome to turn there. You can just go along for the ride. I don't have any papers. I don't have any slides. So it's just me. You're out of luck. Ephesians 6:12, and it says this: "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." So, if what we're fighting against cannot be touched, felt, or handled, we have an issue. Because I can't reach out. If Manny comes against me, then I have a big problem. But beyond that, I can't do anything about it. I can physically grab him, I can run, I can do something, right? But when something that you can't see, taste, touch, smell, or hear comes against you, you got nothing. There's nothing you can do. So if you can't handle it, if you can't handle it tactically, the weapons of our warfare cannot be carnal. They simply can't be physical. They can't be natural. The gap between God and the world is ever growing. I've said it for years that there's a vast, vast chasm between where God is and where people are today. And it gets worse and worse. You guys know. We watch children growing up these days earlier and younger and younger. They know things at 5, 7, 9, and 10 that it took me till I was 15, 16, 20 to know. You guys know what I'm talking about. It's not a secret, because it happened, no matter what generation you're in, it happened to the generation after you. And that gap continues to get bigger and bigger and bigger. The darkness is getting darker, but I'm here to tell you that the church, the light of the church, is getting brighter and brighter, and will continue to do so until the perfect day, the day that Jesus comes back to get us. But we have some work to do first. We've got a few things to handle while we're waiting, all right? Here's the problem, though. We've kind of lost our spiritual mojo. You know what I'm talking about? Mojo, when I say that? Here, between the 1950s and the 1980s, we really, God's power moved much more freely than it is now in our society and in the church. But in the 80s, once we got past big hair and parachute pants, I know, I still have some of those, but no, I'm just kidding. What happened, though, is we became too cool. Starting in the 90s, we too cool to allow God to move regularly in our lives. We became too self-absorbed, too much in it for me. What is the church going to do for me? We let society dictate to us what the church should be like. We're more like coffee shop cool than Holy Ghost ruled. I know. I liked it myself. We became seeker-sensitive, too ashamed to let a little fire be displayed in the church. People might think we're crazy after all. In addition, we've let our relationship with God move to the back burner because in the 90s, our stocks were doing too well. And our computers and iPhones and social media so easily filled our need to connect with something outside of ourselves that we let our relationship with God move to the back burner. Now, don't get me wrong. Coffee, we need to stay relevant in terms of society. We need the coffee and the lights and the screens and all of the things that we do to try to stay and maintain our current whatever mojo. But when the presence of God is replaced by those things and those things become the focus, our battle position is weakened and we become anemic. We get to a place where we never intended to be. We never should have been. God has not designed us to be in that place of weakness. We need to be the army of God standing strong and firm. Amen. So Jesus didn't come. He didn't do lights, camera, action in his ministry in order to get attention. He healed the lame, the blind, the sick. He cast out devils. He met needs. He restored relationships, all by the power of God. His church growth campaign was simply doing the will of God in power, and the people were drawn to him. We are supposed to do the same. The Apostle Paul himself in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 said this, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." I love that. That's one of my favorites. "But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." We should demonstrate the Spirit and power. Paul was doing that in his ministry. He was a learned man. He knew what he was talking about. He had all the education. But he said, "I didn't come with all of that. I came with something that you can't put your hands on. I came with something that is born out of a relationship. I came with something that's beyond and bigger than myself. I came in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power." So if it's good enough for Paul, I'd say it's good enough for you and me. Can I just say I am not smart enough to handle, to see the big picture. I don't have the wisdom of God every single day that I need. I don't know how to handle every situation, but God does. And we need his power working in us daily to bless and help humanity. So here's an example of how even in the early church, society had turned against God. I mean, this is like within the first few weeks, months, years, at the beginning of the church. So, you know, if it started this early, you can bet that 2,000 years later, it's coming against us even that much more, as I mentioned earlier. So Acts chapter 4, we're going to, did y'all catch Sharon's word on Sunday morning? We need to get our acts together. I thought that was smoking. The timing of that was so great. I was amazed at what God had spoken through her in that. For the simple fact that today we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff in the book of Acts, and I'm going to be hoping to tell you how we can get our acts together in terms of, you know, moving in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. So, Acts chapter 4, Peter and John have been arrested. And you guys are going to know these. These are scriptures that are very popularly used. I love them myself, so, you know, it won't be anything brand new. I'm not trying to dig a gem out of something that you've never heard of before. But we're going to go through quite a bit of it. Just let the word do the talking. I found that's the best way, right? I can get in the way sometimes, but the Bible is pure, and what it says is going to hit you right where it needs to hit you. So Acts chapter 4, verse 4 says this. Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. So Peter and John were arrested for preaching in the name of Jesus. But it was too late. There was already 5,000 saved. And that's not even talking about what Peter had done on the day of Pentecost, where the several thousand were born again there. So, I mean, God's power is going forth. The word of God is going forth. And the people are being born again and added to the number daily. Peter and John, addressed the Sanhedrin after they had been caught and dragged before him. And it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked him, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man — they had healed a man before, which is why they got drug in — if we are judged this day for having done a good deed to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John — like that, the Holy Spirit, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you will have boldness — when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. I tell you, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be Bible school trained. Of course, that's a good thing, but you don't have to be. The Bible says right here that Peter and John were uneducated and untrained men, but they realized that they had been with Jesus. That's what I want to be. I want to be recognized, not necessarily as a smart person, as a good student, I want to be all those things, but that's not what I want to be recognized for, if anything at all. I want it to be known that I had been with Jesus. And because of that relationship, because of the time spent with him, that's where I derive any power that I may have. That's my prayer and hope for you tonight. And seeing the man who had been healed and standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Of course not. He was healed, and they all knew who he was. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed a notable miracle has been done through them, is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." I mean, you got to be working hard to see a miracle, to see the guy standing there before you, and still need to figure out a way that you can get around it and do something bad to the doer of the miracle. I mean, I'm dumbfounded in terms of that. If you saw somebody who had got his arm stretched out or his leg grown back, wouldn't you all be standing there going like, "Oh my goodness, how in the world, what are you doing? I want some of that." I mean, for real. But these guys are looking for a way to get around that and do harm to the saints of God. So here it is. The church, the world, and society has been against the church from day one. All right? It's no less against us these days. And that's what we're going to come to here in just a quick moment. All right. So if we continue on just a little bit further. And then they, being let go, went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said. So when they had heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God. You made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage? We sing that song sometimes, why did the nations rage? Why are the nations against us? Why do they are they in anger? Why are they boiling up against us? And why do the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and his Christ. That's the point. Satan is the god of this world. He infiltrates, he moves in unsaved people. And in doing that, he has created this society that is against the Lord and his Christ. They go on to say, for truly against your servant Jesus, whom you anointed, Herod and Pilate, with the Gentiles and all the people of Israel gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. All right, moving on now. If God has given us weapons, and we realize we can't fight against flesh and blood, we have nothing we can do against a non-flesh and blood enemy, then it stands to reason we need to know what they are and how to use them. Right? If I put a bow staff up here, very few of you probably would know what that is, or certainly how to use it. And if you did use it, you might hurt yourself with it. So we're going to learn today. So here's a little test. Dave, your test is at the beginning, not at the end. So this is just for fun. Don't anybody feel condemned. I just want to know kind of what audience I'm talking to here. So by the show of hands, and I did this in an AG church that we had in Waco, and I was actually shocked by the number. So just by the show of hands, how many of you off the top of your head can name all 9 supernatural gifts of the Spirit? Let's see. A couple? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. So good. That's perfect. That's what I actually came across in the Full Gospel AG church, man. So here's the deal. If the people in the church, if we don't know about the gifts that are available to us, how in the world will the world be blessed and helped by accident? No, not by accident. If it were going to be done by accident, God could have done it long ago. He needs the body. He needs us to be moving out in the gifts and to doing the things that he's called us to do. All right, we are cruising. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians now, chapter 12. You're welcome to turn there and find these or mark them down however you want. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. All right. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, this is what we're talking about tonight. Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. There it is, first line. You got to know them. You need to know about them. You need to know how they work and what they are. So he doesn't want us to be ignorant. You know, and then he kind of gives them a little jab. He says, you know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. He gave him a little stick there. Therefore, I make it known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus cursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. All right. And verse 4 here says this. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. That's what I hoped to help you with today. Hopefully by the end of this, that you will have profited today and you will know how to help someone else profit as you are just going about your daily lives. So for the profit of all, for to one, and here's the list. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by that same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. And to another, different kinds of tongues. To another yet, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these, distributing to each one individually as he wills. All right, so that was a lot of text. I'm going to break that down for you a little bit now in our time that we have remaining. I've heard it taught, and this is a way that it made it really easy for me to help to remember the gifts of the Spirit and what they are. The gifts of the Spirit can be categorized and broken into groups of three. There are nine total. They can be categorized and broken into groups of three each. All right? Vocal gifts, which are gifts that say something. Revelation gifts, gifts that reveal something. And power gifts, gifts that do something. Okay, today we're going to take a brief look at each one of them, and I'll try to put some practical application examples so that you have something you can remember in terms of what is going on and how the Lord uses us in these different types of warfare. Remember, these gifts are for every man, woman, boy, and girl to profit with. They're for our good. The rest of us need you to be functioning on all cylinders when it comes to being open and ready to be used by God in these gifts. The body needs you to be exercising the gifts that God wants to use through you. We all need that. Pastor Mike frequently talks about the fact that we need each other as a body. He does that, always puts us together. He always is knitting us and knitting us and knitting us into a tapestry that is fit together tightly. So we need to remember that there are no, you know, there's no one-man shows. It takes all of us to get the job done. All right. For whatever reason, sometimes, though, we each have a bent toward a certain gifting or a certain calling or a certain type of ministry and such. We'll get to that in a little bit. But it's critical for the body, for the rest of the body, that you function in your gift. Because some days I don't function in certain ones of the gifts necessarily, but when you do, I might need you that day, and you need to be ready by you to be used by God because I need it. So I'm the same for me, right? If you don't function in one of the gifts that I function in, then you need me to be kicking on all cylinders so that when your day comes, I'm there, and God willing, he'll help you and bless you through the others in the body. And finally, I'll say, we mentioned it earlier, ignorance of them is not an option. We have too much fighting to do. We got too much going on. You can't be ignorant. You have to know these. All right, if I'm not convinced you yet that you need to function, maybe you'll hear the Apostle Paul when he tells the Corinthians to earnestly desire the best gifts. And he's coming right out of this chapter talking about it. You personally need to earnestly desire, go for, really want the best gift. Now, what's the best gift? It's the one that you need right then today, right? I may not need the gifts of healings because I need that plant to disappear. I don't know, whatever it is, right? I don't need healings for that. I need the best gift, the one that fits the situation that you're in. Before we look at them individually, though, I want to give you kind of a warning at large. This is free. The gifts are for humanity's use as the Spirit wills. They always point someone toward Jesus and not to the man or the woman exercising the gifts. Watch out for rising pride as you are used more and more in the gifts of the Spirit. You see how that worked out for the devil. So, enough said there. To note, many times the gift of the Spirit work in conjunction with each other. Sometimes a word of knowledge and healings work together. So it's hard to tell them apart frequently. When I'm talking through it today, I don't mean to split the hairs, but for the purposes of teaching and a little bit of training, we're going to distinguish them in some ways. So don't be confused by, that sure sounds a lot like this or that or the other. I'm going to try to just distinguish them and you know, God's a big God. He can use us and move through us the way he wants, but he has given us some instructions. So let's take a look at them. All right. Let's start with the vocal gifts. There are three of the vocal gifts. These are gifts that say something. They are diverse tongues, the interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. These are the ones we're probably most likely most of us are familiar with. Diverse tongues, the first one, let's talk about that. Diverse kinds of tongues is a supernatural utterance by the Holy Spirit in languages never learned by the speaker, not understood by the mind of the speaker, nor necessarily always understood by the hearer. Okay, basically, you're speaking in tongues. right? But there's a couple of kinds of tongues, and some of these points are very basic, and you guys probably know them, but just in case, I'm going to differentiate here and there a little bit and give you some knowledge so that you know that, you know, what path we're heading down. So there's two kinds of tongues. You get a prayer language when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You begin to speak in other tongues. That is a prayer language that is for you, personally for you. That is your language with which you speak to God, and you don't speak to men with that language. You edify and build up yourself by speaking that prayer language. All right, the gift of tongues, which is what we're talking about here, diverse kinds of tongues, is what's for the body. All right, when God wills, he puts himself upon you and gives you the inkling or the unction to speak out in a language. That one is the one I'm talking about for the body. So if you're filled with the Spirit, you will speak in tongues. That is the evidence that you've been filled, but not the gift of tongues, or not diverse kinds of tongues. The Bible says you're edified and built up by speaking in tongues, and Paul said that he was glad that he did it more than all of you. He said, I'm glad I speak in tongues more than you all. That's what the Apostle Paul said. It doesn't mean, though, that you'll ever give a message in tongues in a service. All right? 1 Corinthians 12:28 says, And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues, diverse tongues. Are all prophets? Are all apostles? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? The answer is clearly no. Not all of us are apostles. Not all of us are prophets. Not all of us have the diverse tongues. Though we may all speak in tongues as you're filled with the Spirit, not all of us necessarily will give a message in tongues in the church. However, if that's the gift that God is using you in, then be obedient to it, and we'll talk about it in just a minute about how to get that accomplished. I do think, though, that the tongues, your prayer language, your personal one, is the doorway. It's the beginning doorway to the supernatural in your life. That was one of the most astounding things to me when I began to speak in other tongues for the first time. It blew my mind. I mean, you know, I don't know. You don't know how you did it. You were filled, and all of a sudden, out comes this beautiful thing that you're not doing, but you're doing. And my friend Keith, you guys have seen him speak here, likely seen him speak here a couple of times in the past year or so. He's the one that laid hands on me when I was filled with the Spirit. And he did something that I thought was genius for someone who is ministering the Holy Spirit. He laid his hands on me, he prayed, and man, I began to just blow up in other tongues. And he said, okay, stop. And I was like, I don't want to stop. Man, what are you talking about? Stop. This is the best time I've ever had in my life. And he said to me, now do it again. And I thought, well, I don't know how I did it the first time. How am I going to do it again? He said, take a breath and speak. I had so much faith, there was nothing I could do but take a breath and speak. And sure enough, out came the tongues. He said, stop. Do it again. He stopped me and he started me. And he stopped me and he started me, giving me the faith to realize that it wasn't coming out of my head. It wasn't something that, you know, was happening to me psychologically or whatever. You have control, you have power over that. So that is the doorway to the supernatural. The gift of tongues, though, is for public ministry. Okay, not everyone does it. Just because you can speak in a prayer language, not everyone is going to stand up and speak in tongues in a church. How does it work? Sometimes a thought crosses your mind during worship. Sometimes you get an inkling and a desire to speak in tongues out loud. Sometimes it might even just boil out of you and overflow. The key here is when God is trying to get through to you to do something more than simply your prayer language, you just have to be attuned to Him. Okay, you have to listen, always be listening for His voice, always be open and available to be used by Him. No, always be ready to step out and not be afraid if He does it. So we'll talk a little bit further about how sometimes these gifts come, and how do you know when it's a gift, and how do you know when you should do it or not. But the first example, a good example here would be, if you guys seen Uncle Jerry and Jack Adams. Neither one of them are here, so I can talk about them. So these two guys have moved in that exact gift we're talking about, gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues, which I'll explain in just a moment. They move most frequently of all of us in those gifts. They are the ones in this body that are able right now to hear and move in that type of way. So my challenge is this to you. just because somebody else is doing it doesn't mean, oh, well, that's covered. You're going to need that. You might need it. We might need it from you. So always be open, always be ready. And the key is to hear the voice of God. If you sense it, if you feel a drawing or an urging to speak in tongues or to bring that word message forth, you know, let's work it out. Well, Pastor Cheryl's got the mic. She can give you a yay or a nay, or if it's during worship, you know, we'll get it worked out. But the idea is that to be led by the Spirit, and then as the Spirit wills and He fills you to overflowing and it begins to come up in you, that's when you would go ahead and give out the tongues. Yep, I said that. Okay. Moving a little bit further, I'm gonna jump pretty quickly through the interpretation. The interpretation of tongues is the supernatural showing forth by the Spirit the meaning of an utterance in other tongues. So we just had the message in tongues that came out. Now we need to know what was said, right? So the interpretation of tongues is a gift that God drops upon a believer, upon a person filled with the Spirit. It's not necessarily a translation. You know, if someone spoke to me in Spanish, I might be able to translate that and tell you what was said by a translation. Sometimes you've heard the message is very short. The message in tongues is very short, and the interpretation is very long, or vice versa. It's very long, and the interpretation is very short. So it's an interpretation, not a translation. Either way, the information should be used to edify, exhort, and comfort. Right. So if you look at it this way, of the three vocal gifts, tongues and interpretation essentially equal prophecy. Right? It's just a different mechanism by which it comes. So, you know, be ready. If someone's giving a message in tongues, every time someone does it, I always ask the Lord, Father, do you have anything for me? Can I interpret that? Do you want me to interpret that? That's how I do it, man. Just ask Him if it's yours to interpret. He'll begin to pour words into you. He'll begin to give you a thought or a picture or an image for you to describe in some way and then prompt you in some way to begin to move out and to go ahead and say what you're saying, essentially, which would amount to the same thing as a prophecy, so to speak. So sometimes you might get the whole thing. You know, He might tell you he might drop the download in you, in your spirit, and you might be able to say it word for word. Sometimes you might get a word or two where you feel like you get an idea or a thought or a small picture or an image, and then you've got to step out in faith and do something about that. Don't be afraid. He will meet you and give you what you need to finish that. Sometimes it's a picture or a vision that you might describe. So those are just a few ways. Again, I'm going to move through these vocal gifts a little bit quickly here so we can move on. These are the ones, as I said, are probably the most familiar to us all. Prophecy now, moving through. Prophecy is a supernatural utterance in a known tongue. Basically, it's kind of like interpretation of tongues, minus the original message. So the gift of prophecy, once again, is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. The simple gift of prophecy is not foretelling. Everybody catch that? If that happens during a prophecy, it usually means that some other gift of the Spirit is in operation, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, something else. But the gift of prophecy, the basic gift, is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. You may all prophesy. In some ways, we all prophesy. If I just walk up to Sun and tell her, Sun, man, you're a great singer, and I am. You do such a great job at that nursing home, and they are so blessed to have you. In a way, that's edification, and that's exhortation, and that's comfort. In a way, that's prophecy. So, you know, we don't have to, you can use this in your everyday life. You can use it just being a friend to somebody. But in the church, in the body, when it's time for the message out loud, say in a service, make sure that the Spirit of God is moving through you and He's moved upon you to give that gift, okay? Pastor Mike has taught us well about what to do when a word comes forth, right? You know, it should confirm mostly what we're doing. You put it on the shelf and you test it out for a while and, you know, pray about it. And so we know what to do with that. But if it's a straight up prophecy, simple prophecy, it's for edification, exhortation, and comfort. And you don't even have to test that, man. That's good stuff because, you know, we all need that. Because sometimes, oops, well-meaning people get in the flesh and we say things that aren't exactly from the Spirit of God. So be patient. These are Holy Spirit gifts, but they are through imperfect vessels. Sometimes these things go a little, whoa, sideways, and you just have to weed out the good from the not so good. Again, how does it work? Sometimes you get the whole download. Sometimes he just drops it on you. Sometimes you get a word or two, right? Sometimes you might get a picture or a vision or an image of something. And it doesn't even have to be something that's so wow and amazing. Many times the Lord might, he might just give you this inkling. I'll tell you this story. One of the most fun times, I'll say, that I've had the experience to do with Don and I were in San Marcos, and we were parked at the light about to go underneath and get up on 35 to come to Austin. And so we sat there at the light, and as the light was red, I sat there, and sorry, worship team, you may have heard this before. Deal with it. No, just kidding. As the light was red, I just felt in my heart, I said, man, and this is as much as it was. I said, man, I just really feel like God wants me to tell you something. And that's how it started, because that's all I really had. And I didn't know what it really was at the time. So the light turned green, and we began to move through the light. And as I turned the corner to get on the access road to get on 35, I began to hear the words boiling up in me. And so I began to speak to her, and to basically, it was very simple. I actually just simply repeated the words that were at that point exploding on the inside of me. So sometimes it works like that. Now, here's the fun part of the story. I happen to know how fast, you guys know how fast the Holy Spirit drives? Does anybody know? He drives 55 miles an hour. And here's how I know that. We got up, as we were getting on the access, getting up on the on-ramp, I'm, basically beginning to prophesy to Donna and talk to her. We were, she was about to head back to Baylor for junior or senior year, and God just had a few things he wanted to tell her. So as we began to go up on the access road, then all of a sudden, my vision was basically gone. All I saw was white. Basically, to me, everything in the car went white. I saw nothing, even though I was the one driving the vehicle, right? I'm driving down the road on I-35 in the right lane, going north, coming to Austin, and I had both my hands on the steering wheel at 10 and 2, and the words were exploding on the inside of me so big that all I could do was just repeat what I heard. I mean, literally, I repeated everything that I heard. And at one point, we had gotten, I don't know, some miles down the road. Again, I have my eyes wide open, but I can see nothing but white. But I didn't even know I was in the car. I didn't know anything about it. At one point, I heard Donna weeping. And at that point, I kind of came back to myself. I saw about two or three white lines go by. I saw that we were pegged at 55. And I looked over at her, and she was weeping. And the words on the inside of me again blew up so loud that I had no choice but simply to repeat what I heard. And then from that moment, so basically what I opened my eyes, I saw 55. I looked at her, she was crying. I looked back, about three stripes went by, and everything went white again. So 20 miles later, the next thing I see, so basically what I saw was getting on the on-ramp, about 3 seconds of driving, and then when the prophecy was over, the slaughter exit. So however far it is from San Marcos to the slaughter exit, that's what was going on. It was one of the most amazing times in my life in terms of what God was doing there. It started with a simple, I just think God wants me to tell you this. Never despise what you hear. Never not understand what you hear. If you think, oh, that's just me, you don't know what you have in store. Take that breath, speak out, say something, because you don't know what's just on the other side of your faith. The one word, all you need is to give him something to work with, and you never know what's on the other side of it. I remember telling her about 6 or 7 things that were going to happen. So some of this, again, we'll get to it in a minute. I hope, man, I better hustle. Some of this is mixed in with the word of knowledge and word of wisdom, because it was a few things that was going to happen a little bit down the road. And sure enough, within about a month or two, 6 out of those 7 things, tick them off just like it was supposed to be. Anyway, so sometimes it might work like that, but you've got to give him something to work with. So don't, how does it work? I don't know. He's going to have to work with you. How does he speak to you? How do you get led? How do you move? But be encouraged that you need to do it too. We all need for you to do it too. All right, Lord, I can do this. Let's move on. Those were the vocal gifts. Now we're going to talk about the revelation gifts, the gifts that reveal something. All right, the three revelation gifts are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. All right, they reveal something. The word of wisdom, definition of that would be a supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God concerning the divine purpose in the mind and will of God regarding a future event. Okay, it's something that is coming down the road. It's not natural wisdom. We should all have that, right? This is not talking about natural wisdom. The Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, he should ask, and God would give liberally to that man that's not double-minded, right? So we all can have regular old natural wisdom. We should, by experience, we should gain and grow in our wisdom. But not everyone gets a word of wisdom, right? Not everyone has that. What is a word of wisdom? It's a small part or just a fragment, a word of God's vast wisdom that he has access to in his brain. If he has a brain, you know, like we think of brains, I don't know what he has. But it's just a part of his knowledge, all right? If you went to see Dr. Flynn about a sore toe and he proceeded to tell you everything he knows about medicine and the body, you would just pass out. Okay, let's face it. You only need to know what he knows right then. You need a word. You need a small part of word, a fragment of that. How much more can we take than just a word at a time from God? Can you imagine if he dumped all of his goodness upon us? He even told Moses, you can't even see me, my goodness. It's too much for you. So, you know, I'm gonna cover you up. Here's a few examples of the word of wisdom in action in the Bible. All right, Acts 11:28. Then one of them, a prophet named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world. That's a future event. That's a word of wisdom. It may have come through prophecy, but he had to speak it and say it. But that information about a future event's a word of wisdom. Acts 21:10 says this, and we stayed many days, a certain prophet, Agabus again, came down from Judea. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Future event. He's speaking something that's future. All right, so a word of wisdom is something that is in the future. Acts 27:10. Paul was on board a ship en route to Rome when a violent storm came up. But he had a word of wisdom for his fellow passengers before they set sail. He said, I perceive that the voyage will be with hurt and much damage. He knew something about what he couldn't know in the natural with his own wisdom. He knew about it in advance. But here's why it's not natural wisdom. Because the south wind was blowing softly. They disregarded the warning and set sail. So in the natural, everything was fine. It looked perfectly fine. So it wasn't his natural wisdom. It was a word of God's wisdom spoken to him. Long story short, Paul got to say, I told you so. You know, they wrecked. And so forth. Sometimes the revelations are not so life-saving, but just because he loves you. I'll tell you a small, quick story about a word of wisdom that God gave me. One day, we had already had Kaylin. She was just a little girl, and I was praying. I was just talking to the Lord. I said, God, how could I ever? And Donna was pregnant. Well, we didn't know Ryan was going to be a boy at that point. I said, Lord, how could I ever love another little girl as much as I love this one? And he simply told me back, you'll never have to. I knew at that moment that we were having a boy. So I wasn't going to have to. That was, he just loves me. He just wanted me to know, you know. So you have to be hearing his voice, and you have to understand. That's a simple, fun little story to say that he speaks to us about everyday stuff, about stuff that impacts you, the stuff that you're wondering about. But you got to, that. If you're not careful, that one could have slipped right by. You know, I mean, that was not a direct, it's a boy. You know, he didn't say that. He said, I'll never have to split my love, if you will, for another child, my little princess. You know, I'll never have to split that up. So anyway, that's just a fun one. So how desperately do we need such manifestations today? Man, we need to know what's coming around the corner. I'll tell you what, I know who can see around corners. Amen. And you need him on your side, and you need him working through you as much as possible with a word of wisdom. All right, word of knowledge. A word of knowledge is practically the same, but it's about, instead of being future, it's about present or past events, things that are going on right now or things that have gone on in the past that you couldn't have otherwise known about. It's not natural knowledge. Again, we should all have some measure of that. Training, education, and experience all yield natural knowledge, but this is knowledge that is outside of my ability to know. All right. Much like the word of wisdom, it's a small part of God's knowledge, just a fragment or a word. Acts 9:10. Here's your Bible example for that. It says, now there was a certain disciple. So he wasn't an apostle. He wasn't a pastor. He wasn't a teacher. He wasn't a prophet. He was a disciple. He's just like you and me. Certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord told him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. So right then, Paul was praying in another part of the city, and God spoke to Ananias, who wouldn't have known otherwise that was happening. He spoke to him a word of knowledge and said, I want you to go do X. And here's where you're going to find him, and here's what it is. So, you know, some days when you get up and you're driving your car down the road and you just sense that I need to go left. Go left. You don't know what he's telling you. He might say, or, you know, I need to go see Sister So-and-so, or I need to bake a pie for James. Okay, that's a good one. If we're going to do it, I might as well call it. So you never know, you know, when he speaks to you a word like that about an event that's going on present or even a past event. You know, you might be ministering to someone and you get something comes up in your spirit about involved with X, Y, or Z, whatever. That is a word of knowledge. So begin, you know, and again, we'll get to it, but we have to train ourselves to fine-tune to the voice of God so that we really know what he's saying and what he's doing. These are the weapons of your warfare, right? When he speaks to you, when he tells you, when he gives you, when he drops one of these on you, this is what you're going to use to combat the devil with. God has got a purpose for every single one of these, and as we're seeing here, by example, people are blessed, and the people around you will be blessed when you're using these as the Spirit wills. All right, let's see. Here's another example. Jesus was with the woman at the well, and he said, go get your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, oops, yep, you had five, and the guy you're with now is not even your husband. That's a word of knowledge. He wouldn't have known it otherwise. Now, Jesus walked on this earth, by the way, as not the Son of God, but the Son of Man. All right, he had access to the Father just like we have access to the Father. But he did not walk around in his power as the Son of God. So he had to have a word of knowledge himself about what was going on in the situation. So when he was able to speak to that woman, it got her attention. She was able to minister salvation to her and so forth. So that's why, you know, we need a word of knowledge. With the word of knowledge, the discouraged can be comforted, the saints gladdened, and the enemy defeated. Lost property recovered, amen, and Jesus glorified. We all need access to a word of God's knowledge. Discerning of spirits. Let's move through this one. This one's a pretty cool one. I always like, and on occasion, the Lord has seen fit to give me the opportunity to move in this gift. The discerning of spirits gives insight into the spirit world, both good and evil. It's not just Satan or the devil or demons. It also reveals the kind of spirit behind a supernatural manifestation, whether good or evil. Now let me tell you what it's not. Just like the word of wisdom and word of knowledge is not natural knowledge and not natural wisdom, this is not discernment. This is not your ability to put two and two together based on your intellect and your experience. It is it's a piece of supernatural information that comes to you by the will of the Spirit, and not something that you can just know or perceive yourself. Okay, to discern is to see. Right, Moses had a discerning of spirits of sorts when he saw the back part of God. He saw into the spirit world and saw God. Isaiah saw the Lord sitting on a throne. John saw the Holy Spirit as seven spirits before the throne of God. They were seeing physically or in the spirit into a realm that they had no access to otherwise, barring that God opened their eyes. One Christmas, one Christmas I was back at home. I was from college, and I was in home alone in my parents' house, and I was working on singing a song that I was going to sing in the Christmas cantata. And I, during the song, I was just standing in the kitchen, the counter, and I saw this white flash kind of go. I thought I blinked. I thought a car drove by, whatever it was, right? But the weird part about it is when it went by, I got really like, I'm kind of shaking here. This is weird. Okay, so I was like, okay, must have been a car. So I start the tape back up. Tape, that tells you how long ago that was. Jesus, I'm so, Oh, God, rewind. You don't even, Kaylin doesn't even know what a tape is, I guarantee you that. Okay, so I'm standing there, and I hit play again. And sure enough, I begin to sing, and I see that same white flash go by. And this time, accompanying the white flash, right where I saw it, was these folding sliding doors to segregate Mom and Dad's kitchen from the rest of the hallway. I heard those doors shake. Now I'm having a fit right in the house here. Didn't know what was going on. I was very, very nervous. About that time, I had decided, man, I've got to go pick up my brother at school. So I'm getting out of this house. That was basically what I thought. So I snuck my way past those doors where I saw what I saw, and I went into the bathroom for whatever washing my hands. And at the time I was washing them, and I noticed, man, that was a good washing job. These are glowing clean, right? Didn't think anything more about it other than that at the time, right? So I'm still very shaky and very nervous. Made my way down the hall, got my keys, got my wallet. No kidding. 19 years old. How old was I? Somewhere around there. Man of faith and power, brand new, filled with the Holy Ghost. Looking down the hall at my parents' house to see what was making that noise, right? Walking with my back to the wall, standing at it. I mean, I'm shaking. I'm scared, you know, no kidding. And I'm standing there at the hall. I'm like, I got to get out of here. Man, I mean, I hit the door running. Of course, I hit the back door and it was locked. And so that was like a coming out of a B movie, you know, where you slam your face in the door when you're trying to get away. Get out the house finally, get out to the car won't start. I said, oh, Lord, what is going on? So I called my grandfather. He went and took care of my brother. In the meantime, I went back in, and I'm praying at this point. I'm like, God, what is going on? And I'm trying to rationalize everything in my head in the world. And I said, Lord, was that, what was it? Was that an angel? Was it, you know, what was going on? And, you know, now the car's not starting. Do you not want me to go somewhere for maybe I'll get in an accident? Who knows, right? I don't know. And I had, because I couldn't stay in the house. I was outside now in the front yard kicking the football, waiting for somebody to get home and come save me from this white flash that I saw. And I'm kicking the football. You know, this all transpired in a matter of 3 minutes, right? I mean, all I had to do was go out and not start the car and make a phone call, and then I'm out there kicking the football. So I kick the ball, and I'm praying and asking God about it. And I went over there and picked up the ball, and I leaned down to get that ball, and I noticed something on my hands. And I looked at my hands, and on my left hand here was basically what looked like dried blood, all right? So I just told you 3 minutes before that these were some sparkling, clean, noticeable hands. And I don't know why at the time that I noticed how clean they were, but they were perfectly clean. So at that moment, when I looked down, there was dried blood on my hand. So I had to assume God was helping me as a young, learning how to do this thing believer, telling me, hey, you know what? You got it right. I saved you from harm by sending an angel to come down and protect you and keep you out of the mess. So discerning of spirits is a good thing. You know, you want to be used by God. Sunday morning, if you were here, was standing right there, and Sharon saw the same thing. I just sensed that overwhelming presence of, I'm telling you, I thought Anson had moved up and was standing right by me because it was so overwhelming. You know, I'm standing there, and as I glance back, Lord, I'm not going to get through this, am I? All right. As I glance back, honestly, I can't explain why it is this way, but what I saw just in the quick glance was from basically a waist down, a nice pair of slacks with nice shoes and a matching belt. God has style. He had the belt and his shoes were matching. All right. That's what I saw the first time, and I thought, Okay, that was, I let it go the first time. The second time when I sensed it, I looked back, same pair of pants, same shoes, same belt. That's what I saw, but Anselm was further back. So I knew then I had seen something that God had opened my eyes to. So I don't know what the guy looked like, but all I saw was from the waist down. But the overwhelming sense of the presence of who was there was the important part, not what they looked like. So God, I think he just, you know, for whatever reason, give me an object lesson for this lesson even tonight, that you can see into the realm of the Spirit. And, you know, just for whatever encouragement or whatever reason it happened, it's certainly something that I'll remember forevermore. Okay. It also reveals, not only when you do you see into the Spirit, but it also reveals the kind of Spirit that may be motivating a person. Acts 16:16 says this, "And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are servants of the Most High God, which show us the way unto salvation. And this she did many days." Sounds pretty good to me, right? Somebody's following, saying, these are the men of the Most High God. They will show you the way. They will show you the way. Hear them, right? Doesn't seem like anything out of the ordinary, but Paul says, and she followed him many days and did that. Then Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her, and he came out that same hour. Here's the key, the catch. Without the gift of discerning of spirits in operation, Paul himself had no idea. No idea that that was a spirit of divination, a spirit of witchcraft. He did not know. You, without God opening your eyes and giving you revelation about it, you don't know what spirit is behind stuff. All right? You can make intuition. You can make assumptions. And here's I'll say this one thing. Let me add this. It's very kind of a somber note. Don't attempt in the natural to judge the motive of a person. Don't do that. God alone can see the thoughts and intents of the heart. He only can stand in that place. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, judge not lest you be judged. If you misuse this gift and sit in the place of judgment, you basically assume the role of God. All right? You saw how that worked out for the devil. This gift happens as the Spirit wills, not as you will. So, you know, you can't go around making up stuff and assuming stuff and looking into it like that. Allow him to use you. But again, you've got to be open. You've got to be available to be used by him. So that's just a little friendly reminder. So how does this work? Sometimes, how does the discerning of spirits work? Sometimes you just see it, right? You can't, you're just looking and you see it. That's an easy way. You know, sometimes it's a vision or a picture in your spirit. On the inside of you, or maybe even a word of knowledge, like, for example, seeing or knowing that a spirit behind a particular sickness is caused by a demon or a devil. You know, that would be kind of the two in conjunction with each other, so to speak. Remember, some of the gifts come through the channel of other gifts. All right, so now it is 8:30, and we've gotten through 6 of the 9 gifts. So I'm just going to give you kind of a one-sentence overview about the last three. These last three, I mean, all of these deserve so much more attention than I've been able to give to them. I'll just give you a quick overview of the last three, and then we'll wrap up for the evening. All right. The last three gifts are the gift of faith, the gift of healings, and the gifts, the working of miracles. All right, so we all are fairly familiar with the gifts of healings. Essentially, it's not just us laying hands on and anointing with oil, or the prayer of faith shall save the sick. It's not those general things. God has given, he loves us so much. There are general ways he's given all of us to be healed in this life. The gifts of healings is when God moves through a person and commands that leg to grow out, and it does. That's the gifts of healings in operation. So that's not the normal way that you and me, you know, have access every day in order to pray and get our healings. So just kind of know that. I'm gonna go to the other two before we go, and then that'll be that for the night. All right, the gift of faith. This one's a fun one. It's a supernatural endowment of faith by the Spirit, whereby that which is uttered or desired by man or spoken by God shall eventually come to pass. It's a gift of power because there's something that he wants to do. There's something that he wants to get done. And it takes more than the current level of your faith. It takes more faith than that can handle, right? We all have certain levels of faith where we are in our walk with God. The gift of faith is something that it takes more than your regular old everyday walking out faith to get this certain task accomplished. But it is an infusion of God's power, an infusion of his faith to you for a given moment to accomplish a specific task. I'm going to give you one example. Don and I were in a house one time together, and there was a woman at the kitchen table, and she was just crying vehemently. And Donna, we're ministering to her and handling it, and I'm just kind of kicked back against the counter, and she's doing a lot of the talking. And the situation was just, it was getting out of control, all right? She was just crying like, I mean, vehement. If that word's not strong enough, she was boo-hooing, is what I'm saying. Out of control. And to the point that, fortunately, Donna was standing right there. She reaches in her purse, and Donna sees what's going in. So Donna reaches in the purse and comes out a big knife, okay? This is a serious situation. All right, so she's already got it handled. I'm just standing there in the kitchen like, wow, did I just see that? Yes, I did. And so I'm leaning back against the counter. And in the midst of this, the power of God hit me so strong that I had to stand up off of that counter. And I was standing up, and I knew what I had to do. I was endued with more faith than I ever knew that a human could have inside of my body for a given moment. And what I should have done instantly was come off of that thing and cast that demon out that we were dealing with. But I stood up. She was still talking and ministering to her. And I didn't want to interrupt. So a few seconds or a minute or two later, that sense of power and that sense of strength, that sense of infusion of faith in me just pretty much dissipated and went away. So I kicked back against the counter again. Here we go. Several minutes go by, same situation, Donna's ministering, whatever. So the lady pushes back and stands up and tears off running through the house, heading around the corner, and she's leaving the house, whatever. So when she gets up and stands, that same anointing, that same power, that same infusion of faith hits me, and I stand up and I go the other way, right? So we're going to have this out right here. So we go, I'm basically running through the house. She hits the front door, the door closes, and she's tearing off down the driveway, and I hit the front door, and I come out, and about the time she turns and goes down the sidewalk, I turn, and at that point, I was on Holy Ghost autopilot. Just commanded the demon to come out of her. I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out. And she stopped in her tracks, and she turned around and looked at me and said, don't you command me to do anything. And then it was over. So for the next 45 minutes, Don and I got to sit in the driveway and minister the healing, the love, the mercy of God to this woman's life, right? That was all done through the gift of faith. It was a power gift. There was no doubt in the world what it was. It had hit me in such a way that it was unmistakable. I knew it at the time what it was. Thank God. This will be how I wrap up, you guys. I'm sorry, I'm not going to get near to where I thought I'd be. The funniest part about that story, it's not funny, but it is. The story's not funny, but this part of it is. As I hit the front door, she had already hit the front door, and I hit the front door. Some person must have just been on the front porch because they were about 10 steps out in the yard walking away. So I hit the front door, and I saw this person literally right there heading the other way. Of course, they turn around just in time to see the entire show of the demon coming out of the person, right? The best part of that, I don't know what they did because we were busy at the time, but the best part, I guarantee you, somebody's going to walk up to me in heaven one day. It was either a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness had just left a tract on the door. So I think God's got a sense of humor, man. He gave them a show like that. You talk about you want to know who Jesus is, and I think that guy got it all he needed right there. Anyway, all right, guys. Well, look, I've already gone 7 minutes past where I wanted to, and I apologize for that. Miracles was one of the ones I was really hoping to get to because it's one. Maybe Pastor Mike will give me a little bit of time. Miracles is one that I believe, I think that one has lain dormant in the church too long. All right, we have got to be able to be used by God to enact just signs and wonders, because it'll make people stand up and take notice. If you can, if you can do some of the things that I made a huge list of the miracles. So as you're reading your Bible, think about it. What does a miracle do? It gives you a chance. It stops somebody in their regular course of nature, and it grabs their attention. When you have their attention because a miracle has been performed, you now have the open door, the opportunity to explain to them and to talk to them about the Lord and who He is and what He can do in your life. So here's the deal. I got to wrap it up. I really apologize for not being good enough to get it all in. Be open. Study. Take your Bible, read it, get some books, get some CDs, MP3s, online, whatever. Read about these gifts. Understand what's that? 8 tracks! Yeah, hitting that big old button. Cha-chung. Yeah, yes, I know that is too. Anybody got vinyl? All right. Here's the deal. You have weapons at your disposal. God wants to use you. He wills to use you. They are for us today. They are for our use, for the benefit of every person in this body, for every person outside in this world that needs to know about a Savior. Amen. So once you learn to fine-tune His voice and get over the fear and obey quickly, you should be just about ready for anything. So here's the deal. We don't exercise the gifts on our own free will. They are dropped on you from heaven at a moment's notice. But here's what our part in that is. You've got to know what they are so that when it comes, you mentally, you're still have your faculties. You still have to know this is what's happening and this is what I do in this situation. God didn't tell me cast out the demon. All He did was give me the power to do so. Right? He didn't. You've got to know. You've got to do some of the study. You've got to do some of the work on your own in order to do that. And the last thing I'll leave you with is hang on for the ride. You've never yet seen the amount of divine coincidences and divine connections, appointments that He'll set up for you, for those of us who are available and open to be used by Him. Amen. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for your time this evening. I apologize for the extra few minutes, and sweetheart, we'll work it in another time. Kayla was going to give a little testimony about one of the things. You know what? Come here, man. We got a minute. That's my girl. So this goes back to a little bit about learning to hear God's voice, learning to, and then we talked about the discerning of spirits a minute ago. So I don't have a mic for you, so talk loud. Oh, there it is. If you need one. I don't know that you need one. Probably not is right. Lord Jesus helped you. What's that? Oh, on the recording. There you go. So you give us the once over, baby. Then we'll pray.
Okay. So a while back, I was in my room in bed, and it was dark in the room, and I was a little bit scared because I just felt like there was somebody in the room with me, and it was kind of creeping me out. And so I felt like God told me to turn over on my stomach and trust Him. And so I did that, and I felt like angels were protecting me from anything that might be in that room. And nothing was, of course. But I did it, and I slept peacefully the rest of the night and never woke up again. And it was awesome.
It was awesome. That's right. So thank you, sweetheart. That was awesome. The point of giving her a shot to testify is to let you know you're never too young and you're never too old to be used by God. So what he's doing in her life right there, he gave her a discerning of spirits. Something's in the room. There's something going on. And then gave her something to do. Turn over and trust me, face down. You guys know, man. When I was a kid, man, them covers went up to here. So you could see everything. I wasn't about to lay on my stomach. No. But you know, when he says, turn over on your stomach and trust me, that's the Lord speaking to a young one about he's fine-tuning that. He is fine-tuning that radio dial in her life and then giving her the ability to understand and know that there was protection, there was safety in him. So anyway, I wanted to get her in. Man, there's so much more, but we got to call. So guys, thank you so much for your time and your attention. I appreciate that a lot. Let me pray, and then we will we'll be dismissed for the evening. This is my favorite topic probably in the Bible because it's so helpful to humanity. So if you're interested in it, we can chat more about it. I'd love to do that. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for the opportunity tonight to minister your word. And I pray, Father, that you would just season it, Father, and you would give us grace and meaning behind it and instruction and knowledge and, Father, wisdom on how to be used by you. Father, help us to remain open, seeking you and seeking your heart, Father, seeking to be used by you. Father, and we just declare tonight that we remain open and wide open to your voice, to hear the voice of the Lord, and Father, to do exactly what you've asked us to do. Father, teach us and train us to walk in the Spirit and to do everything you've called us to do on a day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis. And Father, we promise to give you the glory. We know, Father, that it's only through you that any power that we have on this earth comes anyway. So, Father, we look to you to be our help and our standby, one who leads us and guides us in all ways. Father, we acknowledge you and give you praise, honor, and glory this evening. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you guys so much. Y'all have a good night. We will see you Sunday morning.